you meet them at the story they're living, and then you write the ending.
I love that. That's...
Hey, podcast listener, you're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 13 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. Today, I'll be talking to Sam Cook. Sam's a high-end marketing consultant who got his start in marketing in somewhere that's not very typical, the war in Iraq. Sam served in Iraq and helped solve war problems, but he didn't do it with guns. He had 140 soldiers with 9 tanks, 13 armored cavalry fighting vehicles, 10 snipers. Despite all that, Sam used storytelling and persuasive writing techniques to accomplish his mission, and in the process, he saved thousands of lives. So this is a bit of a different episode. It's not just some straight-up tactics. It's a bit of a story of what Sam did in the war and how he used storytelling to get the mission done. And what we're going to talk about in the process is how you can apply that to email marketing, because a big part of marketing is just telling stories and just finding ways to communicate ideas through stories. So this is a fantastic episode. I think you're going to really enjoy it. As Gary Halbert says, there is no problem in the world that can't be solved with a good sales letter. So that's exactly what's going on here. Sam wrote a letter, solved some problems, and it's just incredible what you can do when you can communicate with copywriting. To get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP13. Now, there's just one last thing before we get started. Next week, in 7 days, there will be no episode. I'm off to Europe for a camp, kind of like a conference slash camp with Simon Black, Craig Ballantyne, and a couple of other guys. So, and while I'm there, I'm going to try and get a podcast episode or two done so we can find out how they do email marketing. I'll see how I go there. But rest assured that I'm not stopping. I'm going to continue with the Email Marketing Podcast. I'll be back the week after, 2 weeks from now, with Ezra Firestone with an episode on email marketing for e-commerce store owners. So that'll be a great episode. Now, let's go talk to Sam Cook and find out how he sold ideas to police chieftains and all these kind of guys over in Iraq and saved lives in the process. It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy. I'm here with Sam Cook, a friend of mine. Now, Sam does high-end consulting for clients, but that's only a recent thing. And at James Ramco's event in Sydney a couple of weeks back, I met Sam. We talked about some very interesting stuff he'd been doing in a previous life. So Sam had he'd been in the U.S. Army, he'd served in Iraq, and he'd used some very interesting strategies to achieve the kind of the goals of the mission, like pacifying the area in ways that you'd kind of wouldn't really expect from a soldier. He never really thought he'd write stuff in the army as a mission. You know, he told me that he thought he'd do more like normal soldier stuff, like shoot guns. But he ended up using skills that it turned out to be really relevant to copywriting and marketing and writing emails. And today that's what we're going to talk about, because I think there's a ton of value that we can all get out of this. And especially when it comes to stories and understanding, you know, it's fundamental stuff, telling stories and understanding exactly what your target prospect wants. So that's what we're going to talk about today. How are you going today, Sam?
Good, John. How are you?
Fantastic, mate. Now, I think that's a kind of like a general-ish introduction. So let's like step back. You're a high-end consultant now, but used to be in the army. So give us a little bit of a background on how a U.S. Army soldier over in Iraq gets into copywriting and marketing.
Yeah, John, it's definitely not the most conventional background for sales consulting in the army, but I've always been when I was in the Army, I actually majored in history at West Point. And history, you take off the HI and it's just story. And from the ancients, the first historians were amazing storytellers. So I grew up, since a small child being interested in history, which is why I ended up going to West Point and studying history. So my background's always been in writing, reading and writing. But in 2005, I graduated from West Point in 2000. In 2005, I did my first deployment to Iraq as a captain. And in that deployment, I was involved in the famous Talifar campaign, which President Bush cited in a speech he gave in 2006 when the war was very unpopular. He cited the Talifar campaign as an example of success in counterinsurgency. And my commander at the time was Colonel H.R. McMaster, who's now a major general in the U.S. Army. And he was widely recognized as the most talented, successful commander in Iraq that the Army had seen. And the way I knew that was I didn't have a typical job on that tour. You know, most people think of going to combat and you have a bunch of soldiers and guns. And as an officer, you're out there kicking in doors and shooting and chasing bad guys. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't doing that. There was plenty of that going on in that tour, but I was a staff officer. So my job was to literally follow the colonel around, keep his schedule, make sure his vehicles were ready when he wanted to go out on a patrol, and make sure his helicopters were ready whenever he wanted to fly around to different areas. And that was a really interesting time because I was forced to just kind of watch. And most officers during that campaign were doing things, and I was just watching what turned out to be a very historic moment in the Iraq war history, which was the first successful counterinsurgency strategy where a large area in Iraq was pacified. And Talifar at the time was a city of 250,000 people that was one of the most violent in Iraq. One of the other jobs I did for the colonel was I wrote his letters for him. I had to write all of his correspondence for him. He got a lot of fan mail, and I had to deal with journalists. And we had Laura Logan from CBS, Michael Ware from CNN, Tom Roberts from PBS, and all the top journalists in the U.S. ended up coming over to see Colonel McMaster, and they were all looking for the story. And as the colonel's adjutant, I was working with the public affairs officer to help them find the right place on the battlefield to tell the story. And, you know, war, especially as it's happening, is very chaotic. And it was very interesting for me to see how people told stories based on what was happening. They take a very thin slice of what was going on and they'd tell a story that sold well in journalism. So I just learned at the feet of the best storytellers out there, which were journalists. And I watched Colonel McMaster tell them a good story, his interpretation of the events. And then I watched, more importantly, Colonel McMaster tell the Iraqis the story that he wanted them to hear, which was why they should side with the United States versus working with Al-Qaeda, because there was a big struggle there. With the local Iraqi forces were on the U.S. forces side, but then a large portion of the population didn't like the U.S. And our primary competitor over there was Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Okay.
So that was my first tour. And when I went back my second tour, at this time I was a commander. So I had a year and a half to prepare for the second tour. In 2007, when I went back, it was the surge where Iraq still was getting worse, despite what happened in Talifar. In our area, most of the rest of the country was still pretty bad. And I was going to go back into that. And I remember training my soldiers very, very diligently for high-scale combat operations. I had 140 soldiers, 9 tanks, 13 armored cavalry fighting vehicles, Bradley fighting vehicles, and 220 millimeter mortar tracks, 10 snipers. I mean, I had the whole kit, I guess, as you'd say. and every boy's dream, right? You know, we all played soldier growing up, and I had the ultimate arsenal of firepower.
Okay.
And I expected when I went over there to be, you know, in a pretty intense situation. And I actually, we were in a very tough area when I went there in Shirkat. And Shirkat was south of Mosul in the northern Tigris River Valley area. And when I went there, however, one of the first things that we did was we wanted to secure the neighborhood next to us, which was supposedly full of Al-Qaeda sympathizers. So one morning we did a large raid and surrounded an entire neighborhood, went and searched the entire area, and we were looking for two guys that were supposedly bad. And we didn't find them, which happened more often than, you know, people like to admit. When you see the movies, they always catch the bad guy. But, you know, just like copywriting, I guess you write a lot of emails that don't work and then one hits.
Yeah.
So we went in this raid. And when I came back, we had a local leader, a sheikh from the local tribe, came to the gate of our combat outpost, and we lived in the middle of the town, just me and my 140 soldiers. We lived all out there by ourselves. And he came up to us and said, hey, here's a letter for the commander. So my insurgent, or my interpreter, sorry, not an insurgent, my interpreter got the letter and he read it. And my executive officer, Captain Matt McKee, he came up to me and said, hey, sir, this guy wrote us a letter, and he said, you know, all the kids missed school today. None of the men got to go to work. They all missed the bus to work. And they're not real happy about it. You know, and I just wanted to say, well, you know, don't they understand there's a war going on here? And, you know, but funnily enough, life kind of goes on in war. And I actually had to sit back, and I told my executive officer, you know, he has a good point. So Matt, why don't you deal with this? He said, well, sir, I'd like to write them a letter back. And I said, well, you know, I don't have time for that. So go ahead and write the letter for me. So he sat down with my interpreter and he said, hey, sorry about that, but this is why we did this. We were trying to get this guy that we'd heard was really bad. We wanted to keep the neighborhood safe.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about it, we wrote it in Arabic, obviously. There's no point giving them an English letter. We had an Arabic interpreter write it out for us after we wrote it in English. And what was interesting was this guy came back to our base almost in tears saying, hey, I can't believe you sat down and took the time to write this.
Hmm.
In fact, he was in tears. I mean, men over in Iraq, I found, were very emotional compared to Americans. And, you know, it kind of hit me. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty interesting. You sit down for 30 minutes, you write a letter to someone based on their concerns.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy who runs the neighborhood next to us is kind of on our side now. He's not, you know, shooting the bad guys for us, but he might tell us about it now. This was in December of 2007 and around our Christmas time. So my soldiers were getting ready for Christmas and the Eid festival was coming up, which is a Muslim feast of Thanksgiving. And my First Sergeant Michael Livingston, he came up to me and said, you know, sir, you're one of the best writers I've ever seen as a commander. You should sit down and write a letter to the local Iraqi people like you wrote to that guy. Just write a letter to everyone. And I said, you know, First Sergeant, I don't have time for this. We're going on raids every night. We're chasing a couple of really bad suspects. There were some attacks in the area. You know, we had an IED attack, an improvised explosive device attack. And I just said, you know, okay, all right, fine. I'll sit down and I'll write the damn letter, right?
Yeah.
And I sat down and kind of like a copywriter sitting down, I was thinking for a while, what do I say? And all of a sudden I realized, well, we have this very important Muslim festival coming up. How about I sit down and just wish people a happy Eid festival? And then I started thinking back to Colonel McMaster, and I just remembered all the conversations he had with the local sheikhs and leaders in Talifar. And I just thought, well, you know, I'll just summarize what he was saying, because he did really well kind of getting the local people on his side. So I sat down and I said, okay, all right, I'm going to write a one-page letter here, because I wanted to keep it to one page, and said, okay, you know, here's a summary of it. You know, in the name of God Most Merciful, which is how they address everything they say over there, because they're all Islamic and or Muslim. And then I said, I'd like to wish you all a happy Eid festival. During the next 3 days, my soldiers are going to refrain from trying to capture, you know, doing raids. We're only going to do missions or raids when we know that there's immediate public danger. And we kind of needed a break at that time anyway, because I've been running my soldiers like crazy for like every night since we got there. We were on a mission. So they were pretty tired anyway.
Okay.
And then I said, and I understand why a lot of you are upset that Americans are here. And I said, and you know, America has made a lot of mistakes since 2003 when we got here. We've done a lot of things wrong, which has caused a lot of the fighting. And then I said, but the reason we're still here is because we're trying to fix the problems in Iraq. And my soldiers, some of them are here for the second and third time. They don't want to be here either, but we have this obligation to help you guys.
Yeah.
And the Iraqi government, which we're trying to build so that we can leave, has standing up, and Al-Qaeda is fighting them. And Al-Qaeda was doing a bunch of attacks and suicide bombings in the marketplace the year before. They'd killed 30 people, a lot of women and children, with a suicide truck bomb in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I said, and that's not the future that you guys want. And we're trying to help you secure a future which is led by local Iraqis and your own government. But we're being attacked for doing that. And really, it was just a, you know, so I said, I'd like you to end up joining sides with us. And really, it was just a very simple, clear acknowledgement of the of their situation, how they felt,
yeah,
which was anger towards the United States, and then telling them why we were a better option than the other option out there to solve their problem, which was their number one fear was lack of security and what kind of world are their children going to grow up in. I'll tell you, when I made a few copies of this in Arabic, I went over to the local police chief and I said, hey, Colonel Ali, here's a letter. I'd like you to get this out to the local sheikhs. And he read it, and the local police chief was not actually, we knew this from intelligence, he wasn't a fan of the United States. He'd, yeah. he'd actually been suspected of, actually, he was best friends with the leader of the insurgency, and he'd been, and they were childhood friends. You know, it's hard to knock it when these guys are going back since kids. And, you know, the previous commander told me, hey, I think that this guy is really not on our side, so you really need to watch him. And Colonel Ali, when he read the letter, he got very emotional, and he started, you know, tears came up in his eyes, and he said, you know, finally someone understands what we think and the population. And he said, you know, no American has ever sat here and acknowledged that that you guys have gotten anything wrong. And, you know, that's really big to us. Hmm. And, he immediately took the letter. He yelled at his policeman to go make copies of it on the local copy machine. And this is back in 2007. I think Mark Zuckerberg had just started Facebook the year before.
Hmm.
So they didn't have that in Iraq, but now they do. And what happened was he took the letter, made a copy of it, and he told all the policemen to go out and drive it to the local mosques. So it was like a Sunday, right? But yep. The local mosques, even if you don't go, imagine this, John, even if you're not at church, the preacher is still going to be blasting on a loudspeaker. So you'd still hear him, you know, laying in bed. Yeah, lay in a bed Sunday morning with a hangover. You hear the preacher on the loudspeaker saying, "Hey, you're a bad guy. You know, you went out drinking the night before. You need to, you know." So everyone hears it, even if they're not in the mosque praying. They hear it from the local neighborhood. And wow. And what, you know, what we used to do is we would go listen to the mosque broadcasts and see which imams were saying bad things about Americans, because then we knew that there were some attacks coming. So this guy ended up ensuring that all the local imams not only didn't say anything bad about the Americans, but they read my letter to the local population. And, you know, I'm telling you, the effect was electric. And I actually had gotten overtures from some of the leaders of the insurgency, and I wrote them letters too. And they wanted to sit down and talk with me. And after this, I ended up meeting with two leaders of the insurgency who were the highest ones. And I remember talking to them, and this was very controversial because a lot of people said, well, you know, why are you talking to guys who've been trying to kill us? And I sat down and, you know, I spoke to my commander about it, Colonel Dorme, and he said, sure, go ahead and do this. And when I sat down and talked to the leaders in the insurgency, the first thing they said was, thank you for the letter, as you know, not only the letter to them, but the letter to the people. So I ended up getting a lot of valuable intelligence from these guys who were kind of tired of fighting and just wanted to talk with someone they thought was reasonable, who they could trust.
Yeah.
And then the couple months after I wrote the letter, everyone I said, hey, thank you for this letter that you wrote to me. and they would pull it out of their pocket. I guess everyone got a copy of it somehow. And they'd pull it out of their pocket and say, you know, like they talked to me as though I'd written it to them, which I know is really funny because I just written it to the local people. But I guess I'd written it in such a way without even knowing it that email copywriters teach, which is write it as a personal letter.
Yeah.
The effect really was a deep sense of rapport with the local population. And what ended up happening was one of the first organized surrenders in Iraq occurred 2 months after I wrote the letter, where 187 people turned themselves in.
Wow.
And they basically came in and admitted, they didn't tell me specifically what they're doing, but they admitted to being anti-American in thought, word, or deed, or all three.
Yeah.
And they submitted to biometric screening. So all their stuff's in the Transportation Security Administration database, their fingerprints, their eye retinal scans. And then they basically promised not to do anything else against the U.S., tell us what they knew. And we brought them all in and interviewed them one by one. We also had someone like their father or a sheikh guarantee them. So if they did anything wrong or ran away, because we were supposed to be able to talk to them whenever we wanted. Then we would arrest their guarantor. So instead of bail, like money, we had a human bail, which actually turned out to be much more effective. that was really a very powerful impact. And my soldiers really didn't necessarily like the letter writing I did because it mean they didn't get to shoot as many guys and kick in as many doors. But we did a lot of raids. We had a couple of pretty large firefights with some pretty bad guys that actually, as a result, came from one of the insurgent leaders that we met with, told us where to find one of these guys who ended up being one of the worst insurgent leaders in northern Iraq. And it was just a really powerful illustration to me of doing something I never thought I'd do in a situation that you'd never think that you're going to sit down and write something. But it ended up being the best 30 minutes I spent in Iraq was sitting down and writing a simple I guess you'd call it a sales letter.
Absolutely, man. I the reason I love this story, and I mean, we've just done 20 minutes of that story, and that's pretty much an episode right there. But I mean, we can talk about this just a little bit longer to wrap up with like the personal lessons from this. And I'm just reminded of Gary Halbert, who said once that there's no problem in the world that can't be solved with a good sales letter. And I think like you're saving like some of the biggest problems out. You're saving lives with a friggin' letter. Like, if people are skeptical of whether email marketing works or not, I mean, it's the proof is right there. It's just insane. I mean, you get a personal letter. I mean, some of the stuff there, you know, I'll try and summarize and tell me if I'm missing anything here. That number one, yep. You got to understand your subject. So you understood what the Iraqi people wanted, what they needed, what they really cared about. And then you understood their fear as well. So you knew what they wanted. You knew what sort of life they wanted to have. And you also knew what they were afraid of. And then you wrote a personal letter. So that's a key thing there, is write it like a person. And then you basically weaved the whole story into it. So it just connected and just resonated with people, which I think is incredible. Like, that's the main stuff, right? Is there anything I've missed there in kind of summing up the kind of lessons? Or?
Well, I think a couple things is, you know, President Obama, it really reminds me of a political, you know, war, according to Clausewitz, is politics by other means. And President Obama ran the most successful internet-based campaign in history in the last election.
Mm.
And President Obama is the least qualified, and I don't say this in a political way, but the facts are he's done the least amount of public service work before any president in history, because he's young. I mean, he was only 47 when he was elected, so you can't fault him for that. But he told a great story. And war and, you know, when you watch a political campaign, you look at it and it's very confusing as it's happening. Mm. And then the night after the election, all the pundits will get on and say, hey, well, this is why President Obama won. And then they'll make a neat little story out of it, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because during the campaign, you don't see that story. And war's exactly the same way. In combat, in Iraq, it's very hard to see the story as you're fighting it, as you're living it. Mm. But what I learned watching the best in the business, Colonel McMaster, was if you could figure out, and I watched him do this in a number of meetings, if you could figure out a way to tell a story real time, what people are seeing. So you take the madness and chaos and the fear and the emotions that they're feeling, and you attach meaning and a story, not only of how things are, but how they will be, you know. So, you know, he who, that's how you win, is you tell a story of how things should be. You meet them at the story they're living, and then you write the ending.
I love that. That's that's quotable right there. So say that one more time.
So you meet someone in the story, the chaotic, hellish story that they're living.
Yeah.
And then you write the hero's journey conclusion for that story.
Fantastic. All right, that's probably the best thing to end on right there. Thank you for telling this story, man. This has been awesome. I think it's a bit of a different episode. Let's finish up. Tell people, a couple sentences about what you do and where people can find you. And I know you've linked me to a couple of news articles, which I'll put in the show notes for this episode. Yeah, just, you know, before we go, just tell people where they can find you or contact you if they want to hear more or learn more about what you're getting up to.
Yeah, John, I'm kind of hard to find intentionally because I'm
that's fine.
I'm working with clients, but the article you mentioned was from a book by Tom Ricks in the best-selling book on Iraq called The Gamble. So not necessarily the story of the letter, but there's a story of the unit and what they did there.
Okay.
So that's one thing. But the other thing is, I do have a website, but I'm full up on clients right now. But it's Prism Communications, PRISM-communications.com. And if you do fill out the opt-in form there, I haven't touched the website in a while, but if you fill out the form, I might get around to it. Or you could just email me at sam@prism-communications, which is probably the better way to get in touch with me. You know, I would just say that, if anyone has any interest in talking to me, I'd love to, you know, swap war stories or whatever, but I'm kind of full up right now with clients. So,
fantastic.
But I love to hear back from people on, especially other copywriters, on ideas they have.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you. And thanks too for the service in the Army too, for keeping our country safe.
Well, thank you, John. And I really, I really appreciate your newsletter, and it's funny. I didn't know I was doing all the things you said I should have been doing, but as I read your, go through your video course, which is awesome, by the way, and your McIntyre Method course, and also listen to your podcast while I'm running, I start to understand just some of the truths that a lot of us intuitively know about email marketing that we just apply, but then we don't know we know it, and what really stops us is just not sitting down and writing the damn thing, like you say.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, thanks again. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you soon. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the Autoresponder Guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter and the 7-letter word that underlies all effective marketing and much more.